Assembly meeting to order. And just so folks out there know that this is should be broadcasting on the radio station, both in Sandpoint and King Cove. So we'll go ahead and get started. So do you want to call roll? What do you think?
Sure. Paul?
Yes.
Chris Babcock?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Chris Emmerich?
Yes.
Angela?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes. And excuse me, Mr. Mayor, was I heard over the radio?
Yes.
Possibly.
Normally.
Oh, cripe.
Any more explicit?
No comment.
Warren Wilson and Brenda Wilson are in out of town in Kodiak. They just had a grandbaby.
Okay, so we have a quorum?
Yes, we have a quorum.
Adoption of the agenda. Paul?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we adopt the agenda as presented in our packet with the following changes. Under consent agenda, the first one, resolution 18-13, move that to the resolution section. And the last one under consent agenda, introduction of ordinance 1802, moving that to new business. And then also adding one further resolution, which everybody has a copy in front of them, this language on 58 footers and trip limits for the North Pacific Fishery Management Council.
Is that
it's not done in form.
Under
resolutions.
So just to be clear, Paul, the first resolution, 1813, you want to move that to where?
Under resolutions at the bottom of the list,
okay.
I suppose. And then the 58-foot one would be resolution number 1820. I guess it's one that's been handed out, 1820.
Move that under new business?
No, that's under resolution also. And the new business is the ordinance from the consent agenda.
Okay. So everybody knows, so there's 1813 would be moved to resolutions. 1802 would be moved to under new, right? And 1820 added under the bottom of resolutions there. So
do we get 1820 would be the one that we got?
Okay. Yeah, that's the paper one that was handed out.
And 1813 moved to the bottom of resolution, right?
Right.
Okay, and 1816 moved to new business, right?
No, it was the introduction of ordinance underneath it.
Yes. Oh, I see. Okay. 18. Okay.
So, everybody understands that? Mm-hmm. So, we need a second?
I'll second.
Okay, second by Carol. Any objections to the changes to the agenda? Hearing none. Any other corrections or additions to the agenda?
I would like to make one correction.
Okay.
It hasn't been in effect for about 3 or 4 years. That spelling is wrong.
Oh.
Una.
My bad.
There's no dash in the X and small and cap.
My bad.
Okay. I think we can just take care of that.
Hey, excuse me, I could not hear her. Could she talk louder? Is that Josie?
Yeah, this is Josie. I was just doing a spelling correction on the SUNA.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm sorry. I just couldn't hear you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Then the agenda will stand with the addition and the correction.
Okay.
changes, I guess. So, next on the agenda, item three, swearing in newly appointed Assembly Member Chris Emmerich. Tina?
Hi, Chris Emmerich. Christopher Emmerich, do you solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the State of Alaska and the laws and ordinances of the Ouija Seas Borough, State of Alaska, and that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of Assembly Member, so help me God.
Okay. Welcome aboard.
Okay. Thank you.
So we do community roll call and public comment on the agenda items. So, King Cole, who's all in King Cole?
There's Chanel, Roxanne's granddaughter, my granddaughter, and myself, Henry Mack. Thank you.
Okay. And Sandpoint?
Sandpoint, yes.
Nelson Lagoon, anybody with you?
Sandpoint, you have KSDP?
No, it's just myself. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Falls Pass, population's here.
Yeah.
Actan, nobody out there either. Okay. Cold Bay, population, we're all here. Okay, so so we just have two communities that have folks online. Thank you. So any public comment on any of the agenda items? Hearing none. We have minutes of November 9th. We need a motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, we had motion by Carol, second by Kristen. B. Are there any corrections, additions, changes to the minutes? Okay, any objections to the minutes being as written? Hearing none, they'll stand. Financial reports. November financial report. Okay, so we have November financial report is on the floor. You want to do this or that? Roxanne?
Mayor and Assembly members, before you use the November financials, Finance Minister Sandy and I discussed we're on track. We're at 30 to 40% as we planned, and there are no things that to be anything that would raise alarm. With that, Roxanne's here and I'm here, and we can answer any questions.
Paul?
I wouldn't mind hearing from Roxanne. I'd like to always see what her view of the financial report is.
Okay. No. Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly members, the November financials are following along. The percentages are 30 to 40%, and the revenues are at 60% for our general fund.
Okay. Thank you, Roxanne. Any other questions, comments?
Yes, Chris. Mayor, if I could, page 6, was that the interest revenue, year-to-date amount is extremely high. Was that the sale of the stock that we were kind of questioning about yesterday?
Which one, Chris?
The interest revenue on page 6.
Is that a couple of pages?
$1.3 million. Yeah, $1.3 million, yes. Okay. Yeah, the revenue guideline, current period, so November 2018.
Okay. 140.
So
it's kind of all the
numbers.
Huh? 140.
Says 140?
Yes.
140.
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, I see.
That would have been
this one stock. That's what I enter in every month for the permanent fund, the bond.
Because the stock's been rallying so high. Okay.
Uh-huh. And that does not include November.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on the November financials? Not? Can you call the roll, Gina?
Carol. Yes. Chris Emmerich?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris Bassel?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
Angela?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. The October investment report is in there. Hopefully we've had a chance to take a look at it. We'll be discussion on the investment report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. During our workshop, we had an update from our investment advisor. And if I recall, they suggested that we schedule a review of our financial policy or investment policy sometime in the future, but I didn't quite get when they thought would work or when you thought perhaps we might see this again as a discussion item on what our policy looks like, if we should change it or not.
Well, one of the items that we're looking at is the Assembly is scheduling a probably a February line-by-line budget review. So, Annie, do you think that would be a good time to do that? Okay. We'll kind of go forward looking at it that way. That's okay with everything. Okay. under the consent agenda, we've moved 1813, so under there we have left resolution 1814 adopting an alternative allocation method for the FY18 shared fisheries business tax program for FMA2, and then resolution 1815 adopting an alternative allocation for the shared fisheries business tax program FMA3, and resolution 1816 recognizing Ken McHugh for his years of service as an assemblyman. Those are what's left of the consent agenda. And do you want to go, Paul?
I move the consent agenda.
Second? Okay. Okay. If there's no objections, those items will go forward as consent agenda. Okay. So these other ones. So the next item that we have is public hearing. So we'll open the public hearing with we had a motion and a second to open the public hearing on ordinance 1803, amendment title 3 to add 3.02.031 surplus property.
Motion.
We don't have to take a roll on this.
I was just going to do it by consensus, but we can. Do you normally, or?
Normally do.
Okay, we'll go back and do that. Sorry about that. So the item is under consent agenda. Do you have to call a roll?
Paul.
Yes.
Sophie?
Yes.
Chris Emmerich?
Yes.
Chris Apka?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
Angela?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. Thank you. I'll get to handle this eventually, but, you know, they say the only person that never makes a mistake is the person that doesn't do it. Okay, now on to the public hearing. So, Josie made the motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. I think I'll go ahead and have our attorney, Joe Levesque, explain it, and then we'll open up for the public testimony. If he has
anything to.
Yeah. You can.
Sure. Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, Joe Levesque, Borough Attorney. So what we have in front of us today is the public hearing on the surplus ordinance, surplus property ordinance. And this was an ordinance that people in the community thought was a very important ordinance to have because, as most entities, the borough ends up with surplus property from now and then. And what do we do with it? Well, we didn't really have a policy. We really didn't have a procedure, and now we do. And this outlines it. The only thing that I want the Borough Assembly to be aware of on how this works is that what's going to happen is the administration is going to have to keep a list of any surplus property, and then once or twice a year it's going to have to bring it to the Assembly and say, here is the surplus property. And then the Assembly is going to say, okay, we don't need it in the Borough, so go ahead and auction it off or sell it off to the highest bidder. But that's going to have to go to the Assembly at least once a year and possibly twice a year. We could have done it different where we had, you know, like a threshold of $2,000 or $3,000, but we decided not to do that and to just see how this works. If it becomes too burdensome, then we can review it and make some administrative adjustments.
So. Okay. Thank you. So, any public comment on Ordinance 1803?
Only if we booked in that language already within an ordinance. Is that minimum could be set for my resolution?
So I don't hear any public. So it's closed the public hearing. Family member, go ahead.
Well, just wondering if that ordinance, you might be able to have the language for the resolution for it to be modified by resolution for a minimum dollar amount.
If I could speak to that. Okay, so, you know, what we decided was because, you know, since 1987 we really didn't have a policy, and it was really just up to ad hoc the borough administrator or the mayor to just say, oh, you know, all that surplus lumber over there, which nobody really has appraised. I mean, so nobody has evaluated. It could be 2,000, it could be 500. But somebody would make a decision to say to somebody, oh, go get it, go take it away. And what the borough is trying to do is to make sure that none of that happens again. And so it almost is a zero tolerance, but it was done on purpose. And we just want to see how this works before we go to any kind of a threshold. And that was a decision that the mayor weighed in on. And I think it's a good decision because we really don't know how this is going to work. If we were a lot bigger, it wouldn't work. But this should work. It's just going to take the Assembly's time once or twice a year to look at what this surplus property is. And believe me, some of this property is pretty valuable stuff, you know, and we really didn't pay much attention to it before. It just kind of ended up in somebody's hands. That's not going to happen anymore. So, and the mayor definitely wanted this language to go forward.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, do we have that much surplus stuff laying around, or just if something comes up, basically? We have a lot of stuff.
I don't think we do.
No.
You know, as time marches on, as things age and we start replacing things, you know, then I'm sure we'll have some. But it's not like
you know, it's not like we have hundreds of people working for us and we got all kinds of Xerox machines and whatever else going up, but I think this will work fine. And if we do get items, say big items that come up, we can schedule it in front of the assembly. It's, there's nothing saying we can only do it once or twice. We can do it, you know, as needed. So, and I kind of want it this way, and it kind of takes pressure off people coming to me and saying, hey, how much you want for that?
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you.
I think this is a good idea. I've had some people approach me saying, well, how come, you know, something the borough got rid of and somebody ended up with it, and they came back and said, well, how come we didn't know about this? How come, you know, how come this wasn't made known to the people in the communities of the borough? And so I think this is a good policing thing, and I don't see it, like you said, getting too blown out of proportion. You know, there's not a whole lot that we are getting rid of, but sometimes it does happen, and it's just a good policing act. So.
Okay, Josie.
Do we have an inventory?
You know, we're working on, I've been, you know, well, it's come out in our planning session, too, is basically I want to do an assessment in each community. So that assessment will show us what we have, basically, and, you know, it could show what we paid for whatever it is there when it was new and what its current value is and what the replacement schedule is on some of that stuff, you know, if it fits in those categories. And that's kind of the way I want to work forward with it. And it would be like a booklet that the public could get, each of the assembly members would have. There's things in communities that, I'm sorry to say, I don't know if we own them or not. You know, I just found out about some stuff in Sandpoint that we own that I never knew we owned it for years. I didn't know it belonged to the borough until last year. So I think we really need this assessment done so we know where everything is and what its value is. If it's coming up time to replace stuff so we could budget for that type of thing. So we're it's kind of a work in progress right now, but hope to get there. Okay. Anything else? Paul?
Well, I like pretty good ordinance to I'll plan on voting for it. Thank you.
Okay. If there's no other comments, call a question.
Chris Epcot.
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Josie? Yes. Carol?
Yes.
Chris Emmerich?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
Angela?
Yes. Motion passed.
Okay, thank you. Item 8 is a resolution. Annie, you want to just take these?
Sure, Mr. Mayor. Before you, Assembly, is Resolution 1817, approving a grant to the City of Axtan for the Axtan Harbor Utility Project in an amount not to exceed $212,000. City of Axtan recently submitted a community development block grant requesting $850,000 for phase one of their Axtan Harbor Utility Project, so they would be able to provide utilities to the float they currently have and also get the design set for the future float that will go in. So this would be for design and build. The total project cost is estimated to be $1.8 million across 2 years, and CDBG program requires a 25% contribution. In November, towards the tail end of November, the city sent a letter of commitment or requested a letter of commitment from the borough asking for this match. Mayor Osterbach, we drafted such a letter, which they needed to put into their application, but it was contingent upon assembly approval and whether we have the funds or not. We do have the funds in our budget. There is a Accutan Harbor line item that is meant for, it's called the Accutan Harbor Contribution line item that has $259,000 presently in it. Which is meant to be used for and is already appropriated towards either the construction of a float or for utilities. So it's for the Actan Harbor function. So we do have it there, and what we could do is basically enter in a grant with the city and give it to them, and they'd have to submit invoices and stuff like that to us. But we have the funds already appropriated, and this is just allowing or having the assembly if you would like to approve that. But if you have any questions.
So, we need a motion to bring it on the floor. So, discussion from the borough. Questions on it? Paul?
Where in the budget is our money for this going to come from?
The money is underneath the, if I remember right, it's under the Act 10 projects. So it's money that's already set in there. It's grant money set aside for the second float or utility. So we won't be taking it out of general fund, if that's a
guess. So if I can expand on that. So when we were trying to build the entire float system in Accutan, it was around $6 million. And the borough was attempting to apply for a state harbor facility grant for $6 million. And this pocket of money I'm talking about, this Accutan Harbor contribution, was actually money the city of Accutan gave to the borough for the float. We didn't use it all for the float because we didn't get the state grant, but we had to proceed with EDA funds to build that float that's currently existing. So this money was originally from the city of Accutan for the float project, which we didn't get to complete because we couldn't get all the funds together. So that is not really grant money, but it was city of Accutan contributions towards the project that now is designated or appropriated for harbor function.
It's under food for get there.
Well, I had a quick follow-up question. Maybe somebody from Actang could explain it briefly, just a short version. Is it a line from the power plant over the hill to the harbor or something like that? I'm just curious.
What it's going to be used for?
Well, it says a harbor, but how is it getting to the harbor? Just a quick version.
To power the harbor itself?
Yes.
Run electricity and water?
Right. How's it getting there? I wondered how you were actually getting there.
So if I may, this is just for the design.
Oh, it's a design.
Design build. So this is so we can answer your questions, or so the city can answer your questions. That's
okay.
This will be for the design work first.
Okay.
It's going to be a two-phase kind of a
two-phase project.
That's
clear. Yeah. Thank you.
Momentum. Starting the momentum.
Any other questions? If not, call a roll on resolution 1817.
Mr. Sandwich?
Yes.
Dulcie?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris Babcock?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Angela?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
Passes?
Motion passed.
Thank you. So, I'm going to try and do this right by this time. Resolution 1818, a resolution of the Aleutians East Borough and Assembly authorizing Borough Mayor to negotiate and execute an agreement with Hoverlink LLC. We need a motion.
I make a motion.
Chris, second?
Second.
Lucy? You got to change that tune. That's irritating. So, Annie, you want to go ahead and take this?
Yes. Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, for use Resolution 1818, authorizing the borough mayor to negotiate an execution agreement with Hoverlink LLC. Some of you may know and some of you might not know that the borough has received an official offer for the hovercraft. It's with a company in Kazakhstan, and the offer was for $4,440,000. However, there was a catch with it. There was a 50% buyback clause, which meant that after 28 months of operations, the end user in Kazakhstan would be the borough could potentially buy it back. So that was the offer, and they won't budge on that. So Hoverlink, who is our broker for the hovercraft, who also was Quijac Marine Industries at one time that built the hovercraft, is willing to take the risk for the buyback clause and take that responsibility from the borough. That's what this resolution is for, is before you. And for taking that risk, it would cost the borough $200,000, which if it's allowed, I'd like to see that come out of the proceeds, but I'm gonna of the sale, but I'll have to talk to the attorneys and everyone before I can commit to that. So this is just, all of this has been verbally negotiated. We haven't entered into a letter of intent or anything at this point. We're still working on that with Hoverlink. But this agreement would only come into place once the money from the Kazakhstan company is in our hands, and then this agreement with Hoverlink would come into place. So if you have any questions, I can explain it more. But basically, this would authorize Mayor Ostrak to negotiate an extra Hoverlink to take that risk from the borough, and they would take the risk to pay the 50% back for 50% back on the sale of the hovercraft. And this is the, when it comes back, the company in Kazakhstan would have to retrofit it back to the state it's in. They would also be responsible for shipping it back to the West Coast of Hoverlink's choosing. Where it goes, probably Seattle, and then Hoverlink could then take it and resell it. The borough, it's up to you all if you want to take the risk in doing that and holding the 50% and buying it back at a later date. I don't know if it's going to happen. It seems like a far-fetched thing, but it could. So Hoverlink would take the risk.
And Joe Levesque has been working with us on this to make sure legal-wise everything is drafted up properly. This has been an endless, since before I went to the boat show, I think we've been just about every day back and forth. They're one day ahead or one day behind. I don't know which it is, but so emails come at 3 o'clock in the morning to be answered. Personally, I would recommend, well, the two ways we could do it is, one is the $4,400,040, which you could sell it for, but if we take the option where we take the risk, then we're going to put half of that money in escrow or something until the 28 months are up to see whether or not they want to return it. I don't, because of where it's going, we tried to word everything to the point of ensuring whatever extras that went with it, you know, parts would be returned as new or new parts or something that would be agreed upon between both parties. But I think if this deal could go through and we could step out of this permanently, that would be my recommendation. But we need some input from the assembly to see. This is probably the first time most of you are hearing about this. So.
I guess, Mayor, I really don't understand that. So, the $400 million, or whatever, that's what we would get, or we would only get half of that?
No.
I'd be happy to
explain. Okay.
So, Joe Levesque, borough attorney. So Carol, what we'd like to do is just sell the dang thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and $4 million, we'd probably say take it away. When Annie heard that this company in Kazakhstan wanted this buyout clause, it really concerned her, and so she started working with Hoverlink and made sure that whatever the final offer was had this $200,000 built into it, okay? Because we knew we got this $200,000, which is our gambling money. So the only way that the Kazakhstan company will take the Hoverlink is if they can buy it for the $4,400,000. And after 28 months of use, if they so desire, we have to buy it back at half the price. And we're saying, goodness no, if we can get rid of it, we don't want to have to buy it back and refurbish it and do any of that stuff. And so with Hoverlink saying that they'll take that risk for $200,000, which Annie has built into the negotiation, for us, $4,400,000, give HoverLink $200,000, and we're done with it. So we'll have $4,200,000 roughly.
Roughly, and then of course we have the commitment for HoverLink being the broker, 5%.
Right.
It will come around $4 million.
And that is the FOB here, or like for anything that's a buyback, would that definitely be like something we'd have to ship it back to here? And
would be responsible for that. The Kazakhstan company would be responsible for getting it back to us, and they'd also have to put it back into the condition that it is in now. So any retrofits they do, they'd have to do the retrofits to put it back into the same shape that it is.
But let me remind everybody, you know, you have these agreements. Sometimes you have to enforce them. So that means that if they started saying, oh, come after us, and we still had the risk of buying it back, and they didn't do what we wanted them to do, then we'd buy ourselves into some kind of litigation.
Yeah.
In a foreign jurisdiction.
So then TVAC is taking that risk, and if they want to give it back or whatever, TVAC will pay the $2 million
hovercraft. HoverLink now?
Yeah. They'll pay the $2 million to buy it back?
So we're paying them $200,000 to take the risk that they would have to pay. They would basically be buying it back for $2 million.
And then we're giving them a 5% broker fee.
But that was already agreed.
That was already agreed. So we take the $4 million, pay the $200,000, we're done. And then HoverLink is going to take, if it gets buy back, HoverLink will buy it back.
But
okay.
So you're saying with this $200,000, this is kind of like an insurance. So that I mean, but can they still come back like you were saying, and we get tied up in litigation or anything?
No, because HoverLink we've bought that from them, so they've assumed that risk for $200,000, and they're happy to do it because they're in that business. That,
How long have we been trying to get rid of it?
Yeah, I think with the hassle. Yeah.
So selling a boat, which is complicated sometimes to a foreign company, you know, maybe there's Jones Act provisions in there too, which can make it more complicated. But if we can word it crystal clear, so anybody, any judge, could see that we're not liable for anything at all, that would be very good. I don't know if you've been working with a maritime attorney yet, you know, because it's a specialty. I think like a lot of things in the law are. And so we have zero chance of having to go back and have to get some international court to solve it. That would be really messed up. That would eat all our money in like a week. So that would be, if that was the understanding, which I think it is. But did we get the sales, I like always say that no warranties expressed or implied.
Ours says that.
Yeah, sale is final.
As is where it is.
But as is where it is, no warranties expressed or implied. But if we had escrow money, you know, like a non-refundable down payment, do we have that, and how much is it?
So a lot of this is in the next resolution.
Yes.
They did. It was $215,000. So I'm going to call them COC. That's what Kazakhstan Group goes by. That's offering to buy this. COC has put a deposit or an escrow down, initial refundable amount or retainer, goes in $215,000. Per our letter of intent that we have entered into them, the borough has until January 5th to make a decision on this, on whether or not we proceed with the sale.
And where is the money today?
It is in Kim Marine. It's in
the documentation company in Seattle. So that's good. Kim Marine's a straight shooter, from my experience with him. Okay. And so that came back, I guess, to the escrow then. So if we fill out paperwork and reach the agreement by January 5th, and then they don't want to buy it, in theory, we keep the escrow money also.
Just like with cruise lane, same thing.
I know that's always, sometimes you have to give back escrow money. Not quite so clear sometimes as you think it might be. Okay, I don't know, I've got too many more questions.
Well, I mean, we've
we've been going over this almost daily, I think, for quite a while now, and the timelines keep changing. They wanted it earlier, and then because of these time differences and Thanksgiving and everything else that was rolling around, it kept messing things up, so we basically got it pushed back till the 5th of January as the drop-dead date on our part. So once, if the assembly signs off on this now, we can get the documents in the mail tomorrow. And then on our part, we said, okay, we're going to go through it to sale. So at that time, if they decide, no, we're not going to do it, then they lose their escrow money. But when we get into the resolution 1819, then it goes more into detail. That becomes the agreement with the Kazakhstan group there. Paul?
So if we sign the paperwork, shuffle it along, when would we get the $4 million? What date are we thinking about for that? That's the first question.
So Assembly Member Osterbeck, in answer to that question, this is just authorizing us to negotiate and execute it with Kazakhstan. There's no drop-dead deadline. However, we have already drafted the agreement with Joe Levesque and with Keith Whittemore with HoverLink. So we've already have a draft ready to present to COC if this is approved. So then we begin the negotiations, and then I believe it would start sooner than later. They want the craft, I mean, by, like, they want to take it out by March.
I would suggest we do have a deadline because that way it's then we get our ESCO money as of that date if they don't perform.
Well, according to our letter, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, but I believe if you approve resolution, the next resolution, then the escrow funds is non-refundable at that point because the borough has accepted the offer. The assembly has accepted the
offer. Okay. Since we seem to be already into the next one, which I don't know if we're supposed to be there or not, but one of the things... the date that they agree, you know, we sign off on this, so we're going to allow them to leave the hovercraft in the hangar in Pakistan until the end of March, is it? So until the end of March. But once everybody signs off on this, then we're no longer responsible for it, even sitting in the hangar. It becomes their responsibility, and they can store it there for free until the end of March.
What happens if they don't? It's their language. You said for free up until that day. What happens after that date, then?
Then we can assess them at some fee. But I think from talking with Keith, and they were in the beginning, they were waiting for an agreement with an oil company. So basically they've entered into an agreement with some oil company in that part of the world to do whatever, supply services or something for them, because at the first part they were waiting to see whether or not they got the contract. So apparently they got the contract, and then they got the buzz really started to get this hovercraft on the road, because they have to take it, they're taking it to another country, and I don't know if it's England or where they're taking it to. They're going to take it somewhere, and they're going to have some modifications made to it that meet the design criteria of the oil company, is my understanding. So I don't think they're going to want it sitting here very long. I think they need to get moving, too.
And final, you answered part of my next question, but let's say we sign everything, we get the money, and it's the middle of March, and they're moving it, I suppose, running it to Dutch Harbor, putting on a boat. When is our liability over? When it hits the water, or it hits Dutch Harbor, or when are we done?
When we get the money.
So getting out of the hangar, figuring transportation, all that.
That's theirs.
Of course, you said you're still negotiating that, but that clause is still in there.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'd like to say, just in response to the Assembly Member Thunderholt's question about a maritime attorney, if we get into, all we've done so far is a letter of intent and a purchase and sale agreement. But when we actually do a contract to sell the vessel, we will get a maritime attorney to review to make sure that everything is up to par. Okay.
I
And there's one other thing, too, I guess we might as well mention it here, too, is basically there's checks. I don't think they've completed yet, but they're doing the checks to make sure there's nothing in the State Department that says we can't do it, or did they already do that? I can't remember.
They're doing it, but, you know, I don't think that's going to be a problem because of the Matsu Borough ferry, and they were able to sell that to the Philippines. Now, there may have been some countries that were, like, off the list. You know, you can't sell it to that country. And then maybe that's all they're verifying.
So, anyway, I think we covered everything we could think of. Josie.
Are these the only interested people that we've had in the hovercraft since 2014?
So we've had a lot of interest, but as Keith told me, he goes, the hovercraft is worth nothing without a purpose. This is a purpose. This is a real offer. We have received a lot of inquiries, but they've gone nowhere. I mean, we had that event with Cruise Marine where literally we were almost there, and then their backers said no, and they backed out, but we kept the escrow money in that instance. But since then, there's been interest. There's been interest from companies in Seattle and San Francisco and other countries, but this is a real offer with a real purpose. And according to what Keith told me, he does not think we're going to get much better than this.
Yes.
If I may, the only question I had is, what's the cost of now just to store it where it is with insurance and stuff? I mean, that $200,000 proceeds, I think, would be eaten up just from us storing it for just waiting for another year, which would be a short time frame just to find a really prospective buyer if we had to buy it again. That's why I say just wash our hands of it. It would probably save us money in the long run.
Storing it right now does not cost us anything because it's in the ACI container. It's protected. We do pay insurance. But the longer the craft sits there, the more it's going to depreciate and the more it's going to succumb to saltwater damage or rusting. And we need to flip the engines and stuff like that. And that does cost quite a bit of money.
Well, the depreciation value on it is probably closer to $200,000 anyway. So, yes.
So, this outfit that's talking about buying it, as is right now. I mean, and have they come out and looked at it? Okay.
There's already been inspections done, and when they went out with the folks from Hoverlink. Right? And I think they had it fired up there. So they know what shape it's in and all of the spare parts and everything that's on there. So it's pretty much in the hangar, sealed up, and so we're like,
I say we get. I mean, like, we've been trying to get rid of it for how long? And this is the best offer we've had. I mean,
so do we have any more discussion on resolution 1818? Then this is the first. This is the resolution that we've been working on, just to execute the agreement between us.
Paul,
move
resolution 1818.
I second it.
I think we already had a moment.
Yeah, Kristen.
Anyway,
I'm kind of confused.
Me too. I had to go back
out. Anyway, we'll. Paul?
Yeah, just one final comment is following along everybody else's comments is all rubber gaskets, O-ring seals, skirting, rubber deteriorates whether it's inside or not. And so the sooner we're able to get a reasonable offer,
appreciation
value.
Pull the trigger on them.
Yeah, Julia. Yeah, call the on resolution 18.
Paul.
Yes.
Chris Epcot.
Yes.
Carol.
Yes.
Bill C. Yes. Chris Emmerich.
Yes.
Justine.
Yes.
Angela.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, thank you. So, resolution 1819. The one we haven't discussed yet.
I make a motion. We bring it to the floor.
Second.
Josie.
So Mayor Osterbecka and Assembly, before you use Resolution 1819, authorizing the borough mayor to negotiate and enter into a purchase and sale agreement with JSC Circle Maritime Invest for the used hovercraft vessel in connection including spare parts and materials in the amount of $4,440,000 for the return for credit option by the borough or its agents. We've kind of had these discussions, but like I said, this company, which I'll refer to as DOC, because that's how they do it, has sent us a letter of intent in December offering for the craft. This letter of intent was originally for $4,275,000. We came back and negotiated through Keith Whittemore and Hoverlink for $4,440,000. Verbally, they had agreed by the time I had written this. It was a verbal agreement. I hadn't received anything in writing. However, I did end up getting it in writing right here from the company. So we have it in writing that this is their official offer. With that, they have put in, as we discussed earlier, a retainer of $215,000. That is with Kim Marine, Documentation Inc. And this money, if the borough does not make a decision on this before January 5th, is refundable and we can give it back. If you guys do make a decision and say yes to this resolution, then the money becomes non-refundable. And then this will authorize Mayor Osterbach to negotiate a contract, which we have in draft form and have the attorneys look at, as well as Hoverlink, Keith Whittemore, look at. So upon approval of this, if you so choose, we'll begin negotiations on the contract.
Questions? Paul?
This great circle, we're over here, JSC Circle Maritime Invest, that looks like a LLC just for the sale of the hovercraft. But is that Leejack Marine, or which is in Seattle, or is it Hoverlink in England, or who actually, or is that the buyer?
So JSC is the buyer.
Circle Marine, that's the buyer, and Kazakhstan.
In Kazakhstan, yes.
That's not Pakistan, Kazakhstan.
Russian.
Those are Russian suburbs. I can't read Cyrillic.
So they would be the buyers.
Okay. And the agreement for the 200,000 part
was with Hoverlink, who would be acting as our agent.
But that's England Hoverlink, or
no,
the
that
Seattle?
Is Seattle. Hovertech, who you're thinking of, and that's in England.
Okay. Hoverlink is the one that absorbed Leejack.
Oh,
they bought them. Okay.
They bought them out. Okay.
Okay.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
Thank you.
So that's the original manufacturer of it.
Yes.
It's what they did.
Leejack Marine Industries is the one that built it, and that's the same
Hoverlink
group as Keith was.
Yeah. A silly question. Yeah. Silly, but we bought the thing. I think Burrow had to sign a non-disclosure agreement not to give away top secret information about how the dang thing was built. I guess that'll expire. We might make sure it expires.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Remember that.
Here either.
Josie?
Do we know what it's worth? I'm wondering why Hoverlink, you know, they're so, they seem like quick to, oh, we'll take, you know, if they want to sell back.
They want to buy it back?
Yeah, and they'll take it. I'm wondering what the worst, what is it?
Talking to Keith in Seattle, one of the reasons they would be willing to buy it back, they said there may not be a market for a $4 million hovercraft. But if they could make the arrangement to have it returned to Seattle, and they paid $2 million for it, they more than likely, because it would be located in Seattle, first of all. Secondly, if it came back in the shape that we sent it over in, which I kind of got my doubts you could do that, they could sell it and make a profit on it if they're down in the $2 million range. So, I mean, that makes sense to me. That's what he told me. And we could do that, too, if we wanted to play something to hovercraft forever.
I was just wondering if they knew something that we don't, you know, and they're like, Yeah, we'll take it. You know?
Oh. But I think they're just banking on they could probably make another few $100,000 on it. At, you know, minimum cost.
They're probably not going to get rich by back.
Well, they're probably just looking at aluminum and all that stuff.
I just want to get one additional thing on the record. Is all back when the borough bought the hovercraft, I kind of remember asking somebody from the borough, well, would we get a value if we ever sold it? And I was assured we would never have a problem getting our full money back. And I said, okay. I just wanted to recount that conversation. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on this issue?
Just one more comment, and I think Joe kind of answered this with the Matt Sue, but since this money was given to us by the government, we have no obligation to the government. I mean, this became our property, the firm's property, and we have no obligation to the government as them saying, oh, you guys sold that thing, you know. And that wasn't part of the deal.
See, he has an answer for it because those are questions I've been asking him.
Yes, Senator Member. So this is a question that it does raise a few eyebrows, and we've been concerned because this money was a special appropriation that Ted Stevens gave to the borough, you know, to take care of the health issues in King Cove. And sometimes when you're given grant money and stuff, there are strings attached. This one we can't find the strings that are attached. And so what the borough's done is it's constantly gone back to Blaine Gilman, who's our lobbyist, not Blaine.
Brad,
his brother's Blaine, also an attorney. Yeah. But to Brad and asked Brad, and Brad has opined twice that it shouldn't be a problem. And we also have, so there is a little bit of a risk. I mean, don't misunderstand. And he's also asked me to opine, which I need to still do. And I'm basically going to, you know, ride on his coattails because, I mean, he's the expert in D.C. about when the government's going to be chasing money and whatnot. But the precedent we have is that when Bob Jedner was still the borough administrator, when we first bought the hovercraft, we apparently bought it with an extra engine or two. Tina, you might remember that.
Yeah. I think it was the extra engine.
Yeah, and at one point, I don't know why we decided to do this, but we decided to sell that engine. Somebody else needed it. Something happened. And it was it's a big piece of change. I mean, it was like $1 million or more for an engine. And we sold it, got the money. The money's long gone. Nobody ever blinked an eye. So.
Well, and I know the Hubbard, because I was around when all this went through with Ted Stevens and, you know, the amount of time that they had to make the deal and all that stuff. And, I mean, it wasn't sidemarked that, you know, the hovercraft, I think they just said, wasn't it just a big earmark of $36 million or something like that that they gave? And they kind of sparse it. I just want to make sure that, you know, like you said, you know, you're not finding anything right now.
We're not. And as I recall, because I dealt with this back when they sold the engine, because that's when at first everybody went, whoa, what's going to happen? But it seemed to me that the money was actually appropriated by the feds, and then it was sent through the Fish and Wildlife Department. Isn't that how it got there? Something like that. And so, you know, there were some inquiries in that direction as well. And everything that we found out and that our lobbyists found out indicated that it shouldn't be a problem. But regardless, we can't just hold on to this thing forever. We need to make a move.
I just want to make sure there was nothing liability to. I mean, because it was health. It was a health and safety type deal. I just wanted to make sure that they can't come back and say, well, it has to go back into the clinic or it has to go back into something.
Yeah. You know. Well, we have no indication.
Thank you.
Chris?
Well, I'm just hoping that with us pursuing the King Cove Road, they might see the foresight that we're still trying to alleviate that problem with the hover when hover was crapped was bought for. That is going to take a lot of money, so we're not like just buying us all yachts or something. We're actually using it to provide for the same thing they tried to provide for, and it didn't work. So maybe a level of protection for us.
Okay. Any other questions?
We beat that.
1890.
Oh, okay.
There. Questions? Call.
Chris Zepka?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Chris Emmerich?
Yes.
Angela?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Resolution 1813, which was removed from the consent agenda, we need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion.
Second?
Second.
Josie? Second.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. Before you, Resolution 1813, authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract agreement between the borough and Hippie and Associates for lobbying and consulting services for fiscal year 2018. As you know, the borough is involved in numerous projects and issues requiring assistance from a state lobbyist, Mark Hickey, who is with Hickey and Associates, has provided lobbying services for the borough with the Alaska Legislature and Executive Branches since 1998. His current contract ends on December 31st and can be renewed by agreement of both parties. And this contract before you is for the term of January 1, 2018 to the end of December 31st. And his current pay, which has been, I believe, at this routine amount per month, is $3,500 a month and reimbursed for pre-approved extraordinary out-of-pocket and travel expenses. With that, do you have any questions?
Do we usually just do a yearly, every year we do a contract with them? Yearly one? Okay.
So, Assemblymember Granholt asked for it to be pulled. So, Paul, do you have anything that you need to add to it?
Yes, I do. Well, I found it in the book. Yeah, thank you. First of all, last year, or this year, I guess it's current year, it says the contractor will be reimbursed extraordinary out-of-pocket. How much does that amount to?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure, Paul.
Maybe Roxanne would know. It says under this contract with Mr. Hickey.
Does he normally go above this?
No. Hardly. I think maybe one above that.
Yeah, and I believe we did pay for part of his travel to come to the planning work session this week. That's out of his normal scope of work, and he wasn't in Anchorage for any other business. So, like Roxanne said, I don't think this is a normal occurrence.
There were just two things I'd like to mention. One is I think it's good policy for the borough from time to time put things out to bid, and that we've talked about that before, whether it's our auditor or attorney, you know, or lobbyists. It's short notice now. It's probably not the best time to go to bid if we want to. That's one thing. The other problem that still bothers me quite a bit is he does a great job for us, but he's also working for the city of Acatan, probably King Cove, Sandpoint. So there's a built-in conflict. You know, there's only a limited amount of money, and it seems like a conflict. Maybe it isn't in some people's view. But and so if we ever have our own, obvious that cities can do whatever they want, it's fine. And instead of kind of getting all filtered, and, you know, and he has to make his own judgment on what's more important. Is the borough more important than the city? Sandpoint, for instance, or Acatan? We got this $1 million grant. How am I going to, or we got a statewide bond picture coming up. We're going to let King Cove bond it, or Sandpoint, or a borough project, all pass or no solution. But anyway, it does seem like a conflict. So even if we move ahead with it this year, which seems like we're kind of locked in with that short date coming and the legislature going to meeting, I think we should seriously consider going to bid in the future. I think it's good policy for the borough. Maybe nobody else agrees, that's fine. I'm not too wound up about it. But.
Well, you know, one of the things we can do probably for future reference is to see how many registered lobbyists there are that handle municipalities in Juneau. And I think once they record themselves down there, they also record
all the cities they work for, right? So we could take a look at how many they are, how spread out they are. And, you know, if each one of them has six or eight cities, would you rather have one that's with our cities or one that's with cities on the other end of the state? I don't know. But anyway, it's something we could look into and bring information back at some point.
Well, most of your lobbyists, they're lobbying more than one community anyway. So, yeah.
But, I mean, it would be information we could bring back so the assembly could look at it with some background. Okay? Any other comments on 1813? Call the roll.
Josie?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris Emmerich?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris Apko?
Yes.
Angela?
Yes.
Justine?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So, and, under resolutions, one resolution was added. We call it 18-20, 58-foot trip limit on Pollock. So, we need a motion and a second.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I've moved that we adopt resolution 18-20, and the title would be off the first sentence, Western Gulf of Alaska, Pollock trawl fishery, and then add two words, 58-foot limit resolution. Or I don't know if we have that resolution wording in the title, but maybe drop the resolution part. But Western Gulf of Alaska, Pollock trawl fishery, 58-foot limit.
Okay. We need a second.
I'll second it.
Second by Epcot. You want to speak to your motion?
Yes, briefly, and early here too. This was a big item at the last meeting, and the fishermen who were there, Kylie Thompson, Dwayne Foster, Danny Cumberledge, Ernie was instrumental, and it started as a trip limit, and then you showed up and testified too, and I did a little testifying also. But the commissioner indicated he thought he could get a 58-foot limit version of it through the council, and he did. But we didn't have anything as backup from the assembly because it still has to go through a year or two of public process, and it's going to take a while. But it would be nice to have – this is basically what they did, and it's what's going to be under discussion, which will be in the discussion paper probably in 8 to 10 months from now, and then they'll move on to the next step. But we can always refer to this as being something that the borough supports when we testify or write letters. And everybody I know thinks it's a great idea that we're moving along this direction. Everybody, all the fishermen that are in the region. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Since Paul introduced it, this is the first time somebody's getting to see it. Ernie was also at the meeting. Ernie, do you have anything you'd like to add to it before we continue our assembly discussion?
Mr. Mayor, Ernie Weiss, Natural Resources Director. Paul described it pretty well. There was several Western Gulf of Alaska trawl fishery discussion papers, three of them to be precise. One of them was a trip limit, reducing the trip limit from 300,000 pounds to 200,000 pounds. And at the end of all the Gulf of Alaska trawl fisheries, they came out with two. One was to combine the A and B seasons and the C and D seasons for pollock, which would allow less cod to get stranded. And then the other one was the 58-foot limit, which was championed by the commissioner, of course. And our fleet, of course, is a 58-foot dominated fleet, so it would benefit us, and I think it's a good idea.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the assembly?
Carol?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris Babcock?
Yes.
Chris Emmerich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilson?
Yes.
Angela? Yes. Justine?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. 1820 passes. Under, we don't have anything under old business. We have two items under new business. We have 1802, which was also moved off the consent agenda. Introduction ordinance, adding new chapter under borough administrator. And, oh, I can do this one quickly. Does it make a difference?
What?
Which, if I do this one first, do this one first? We added this one.
Oh.
I was just going to do that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
He didn't put it in order. He just put it under. He didn't.
Joe.
Would you?
Yes. I'd love to speak to this. Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, Joe Levesque, Borough Attorney. So what happened, you might recall some years ago we had this big permitting push that we made, and we had the Planning Commission together, and we came up with this permitting scheme. Well, while we were doing that, we were amending the Borough Code. And one of the things, the changes that we made had to do with old, obsolete ordinance sections, like, you know, we had the clerk as the treasurer, and we know that we have a finance director, so the clerk doesn't really do treasurer stuff. So we deleted a few things. Well, inadvertently, one of the things we deleted was the borough administrator. And so now suddenly we have a borough with a strong mayor, but he has no helpers, right, at least as far as the ordinance is concerned. And so we had to splash that back in. And so that's what this is. And originally we had drafted a version that the mayor pulled, and I talked to the mayor about it, and I understood his concerns, and what it was we had put the mayor and the administrator under the same borough section, and it looks like it's either one person or two people doing the same job, or you know, it just didn't look right. And so we've cleaned it up, and so what you have now is you have the mayor, you can see that under 216.010, and it has exactly what the mayor does. And the first thing it says is that he may appoint an administrator. You shall act at his direction, oversee, supervise all departments of the borough. And then it goes on to talk about the other things that the mayor does. And again, we have a strong mayor government. We're not a management government. And so the mayor has the ability to hire an administrator. So then this is the new section, is in chapter 2.18. And it's section 2.18.010, appointment. So here expressly states, the borough administrator shall be appointed by the mayor to serve at his direction to oversee and supervise all departments of the borough. Next, term of office. Subject to the contract of employment, the borough administrator holds office at the pleasure of the mayor. You want all your department heads to have similar language. I mean, this is a strong mayor form of government. The mayor can turn to me tomorrow, and I'm out of house attorney. He could turn to me tomorrow and say, "You no longer work at my pleasure." That's really what this is. So the mayor doesn't. He can hire and fire without cause certain people in his administration. One of those is the administrator. Others should be department heads. And I don't know that all the codes really are up to date on that. It's one of the things we'll be looking at. And then under 2.18.030, you have the powers and duties. And you'll see that here what we've done is just said that, you know, anything the mayor wants the administrator to do, but also all those things that are enumerated under the mayor's section, where it has that long litany of things that the mayor does, that the mayor can have the administrator do any of those if the mayor so deems that necessary. So that's what you have. It really was an attempt to put the administrator back in the ordinance, and then we did a little bit of cleanup as well.
Everybody understand that? Any questions? You don't approve it?
You technically exist now, man.
Yeah, not yet. Any questions? Everything's understood. So you want to call?
Motion.
We have a motion.
Oh.
Don't we? I know I've been doing it back asswards half the time, but I think they're.
I make a motion.
Thank you.
Second. Now we can move. The borough attorney mentioned this was kind of a cleanup ordinance. That's fine. That's great. I'm kind of clear on what it is now. But I know there's a few other, too. I think the clerk kind of mentioned, hopefully we'll have a chance to review a few ordinances in the future. I'm just commenting on something not quite related, but maybe sometime this spring or sometime in the normal. You know, when we redid the ordinances, a few apparently are a little mixed up. Not a big deal, but, yeah, I'm glad to see this in language. It seems pretty clear to me what it's doing. I'd like to, I guess, if we have a public hearing whenever we have our next meeting. Is that correct, I guess? Right. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to go through another reading.
You have to read it again?
Well,
it's an ordinance. You have to go through two readings.
Oh.
Sorry, this is the introduction, and then... So it needs to be introduced and scheduled for a public hearing at the next regular meeting.
Well, I was just, we could shorten some of this to be just at will, right? So an at will when it comes to, I mean, like in your contract, it would be at will. So he was saying, you're working one day, and I could come to you the next and say, you no longer work here. At will, you know?
Yeah. So I can respond to that, Josie. That's it's a good point. But, see, because we're a public entity, all the employees that we have that are not supervisory and you know, special appointees of the mayor are at will, but all the other employees really are not at will. They have to be terminated for cause. And that's why I said that express language in the ordinance is really helpful, because if we come across something where the mayor makes a decision that he's, you know, just invite somebody to his office and say, you work at my pleasure, you no longer work at my pleasure, then he's allowed to do that. Hasn't fired them their employment for cause, but he can do that because it is at will. But it expressly states it in the ordinance, and that's where the cleanup is. Just so there's not, because sometimes it's ambiguous. Sometimes the ordinance it implies that the person actually is somebody that's exempt, you know, or somebody that has a vested property right or interest in their job. And so when you have that ambiguity, all ambiguities run in favor of the alleged wrongfully terminated employee. And so you have to make sure that everything jives. And that's what I meant by the thing. Okay.
Josie, I think as far as, you know, other classified employees, maintenance, different type people that work, we have an employee handbook, and we're kind of in the process right now of going through that, updating it, and making some changes, because I don't think it's been updated since 90-something.
Well, it was actually written in 2009, and then we did that brief update when marijuana became legal in 2016, but that was all that changed with the marijuana laws. So, but it, yeah, 2009, but it is outdated. And we started to update, but it's a process.
Well, and of course, the borough has entered into a contract with Annie as borough administrator, but we have some new assembly members. I can't remember the what's the period term.
It was May of
17. May of
17
until?
May of 2 years.
Yeah. Okay. 2 years. Okay. Thanks. Refresh my memory, too.
Anything else? Question? Do we have it worded right as far as scheduling it?
The public hearing.
Yeah. Fine. Yeah. Just call a question. Okay. Okay. So, question's called on
1802. Carol.
Yes.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Josie. Yes. Chris Emmerich.
Yes.
Angela. Justine.
Yep.
The other new business item we have is the 2018 advisory appointments, and these are the appointments to the assembly, and as you know, these are done on an annual basis. Two communities have advisory seats, and both have submitted letters. So, Annie, how do you want to do that?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly members. Before you are letters from Coal Bay and Nelson Magoon. Coal Bay, the city of Coal Bay, is nominating Angela Simpson to continue serving in the advisory seat. This was discussed and passed at their October 2017 regular city council meeting. And the Nelson Magoon Tribal Council has unanimously voted to retain Justine Gunderson as the representative to their advisory member for the assembly.
What action would be necessary?
So we just need a motion to accept all?
Move to accept the two nominations by Councilman Colbain.
Second.
Second by Johnson. You want to vote this one or just all in favor? Anybody opposed to appointing these two? Hearing none. Welcome back.
We did get rid of Chris as advisory indirectly.
Okay, we are down to reports and updates. So I think what we've decided that we're doing is we're going to have each department that has a report come up and give the report to the assembly, and also the public will be able to.
Could I just go out of order to do what I just need 5 minutes, and then I'm gonna leave. The only thing that I wanted to do was answer Paul's question about bond capacity.
Sure.
And that's the only report that I wanted to give as a law department report. If
okay.
If you will allow me to do that. So after Paul asked that question this morning, I contacted Chip Pierce, and Chip Pierce is the financial advisor for the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank, and that's how we do all of our bond finance work. And so let me just give you this. What I'm handing out is a table that comes from the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank, and it shows what everybody has out, everybody being municipal entities around the state, in bond issues right now. And you'll see on there that the Aleutians East Borough has $27 million in some sense on there. And that really doesn't tell you much about what the capacity is and what the borough could do going forward. So I asked Chip, you know, he's the financial advisor. I said, well, you know, let me just give you a hypothetical as it was put to me. You know, if the borough, because it had to finish a project, whether it be the Accutan Boat Harbor or the King Cove Road project, and the borough suddenly needed $2 or $3 million or $3 to $5 million. In your opinion, you know, as the financial advisor for the bond bank, does the borough have the capacity for that? He said, I would not see a problem with that at all if the borough wanted to do that. But of course, he'd have to do some in-depth analysis, you know, before you'd really go forward on that. You have to do a bond application. And we have to remember, we're at $27 million plus. I mean, how much further do we really want to go? And do we want to leave that as a safety net? I mean, there's a lot of policy decisions that the borough has to make, the elected officials. And then, you know, finally, the question is, and whenever this comes up, you know, it really is a matter of how much can you afford to pay back. And so when you have this kind of a discussion, you also need to go to the finance director, because she's, you know, in charge of paying all the servicing all this debt. And, you know, every few months, every 6 months, I mean, you have to make a payment, fairly good size payment. And so she's also a person that has to be involved in this conversation to say, you know, could we, if we were to borrow $5 million more, could we service that debt? That's if it's a GO bond.
That's a general obligation bond. And, of course, that's the one that the people have to vote on. You just can't issue debt without the people voting on it. Now, an exception would be a revenue bond, and like King Cove does revenue bonds. So anybody from King Cove will be familiar with their hydro projects. And those hydro projects actually generate money, and so that electric utility bill actually pays the debt, as opposed to just your general obligation of the municipality. So, Paul, I don't know if that answers all your questions, but that's what I wanted you to know in response to your question.
Okay. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for
Joe? No? And that, for the record, that was all hypothetical. I have nothing in mind. Just curious.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Joe. You want to buy two more Harbor Grove?
Yeah. You want to start off, Annie?
Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, my report here in the packet's a little brief. The last week was a little busy getting prepared for the planning session that we had. So basically all I have to say is that right now we're doing our planning work session with the Assembly and with the communities, and it's going very well, very well attended. The information that's going back and forth is super valuable and informational, and I really appreciate that, and I appreciate that the borough suggested doing this begin with, because this will be a great tool not only for the administration and the staff, but for you all as well, and I hope for the community too, and it can start making our communication and our transparency better. So with that, basically, you know, the hovercraft, that's what I worked on last week, so, and that was what was before you. So with that, with any questions, please let me know.
I just have one quick question on your report that you handed out today. About legislative action for fisheries issues. Have we taken a position that about the permits in the middle? Anyway, do we have a resolution lately? Or, okay.
It's a bunch of past.
We may something to consider that, you know, to put in resolution form, whatever we're doing on those issues is always good. And that's all.
So I think you're talking about SAM and limited entry permits?
Yes.
There's been no resolution on that. And I
it'd be something, yes.
For benefit of the Assembly, it's a paper that I have been working on over the last couple of years, kind of with the blessing of the Assembly when I was Assembly member. I was going to the discussions being put on by the University of Alaska, dealing with graying of the fleet and permits leaving the area, and the governor had asked for ideas to come up to try and retain ownership of permits to help stabilize rural communities. So I sat and listened to all the different ones that were coming out of the Bay and Southeast, and I basically put this one together and attended two or three meetings, kind of developing it. And then when I came on board as mayor, I kind of brought it out here with me, and I gave it to Laura to do some research for me, and she helped rewrite some of it, and she's still doing research on it. Hopefully, I would like to have it completed and distributed to the Assembly at some point in the next couple of weeks, or by Christmas time or something, anyway, if we get time to do it. I just haven't brought it back yet because we're still changing things in it, and I've got different people looking at it. So I think shortly we should have it back ready for the Assembly to look at, and hopefully maybe you'll want to make some changes to it, but hopefully it survives the Assembly.
Thanks for clarifying that. Of course, there's a lot of groups coming, putting ideas together, trying to figure it out, too, which is great. A lot of good discussion.
Okay. Anything else on your report?
No.
Ernie, could you come up and do yours?
Mayor Osterbeck, Ernie Weiss, National Resources Director. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to my report. It is in your packet. I won't read through it all. I think it's important to mention, as you did at the planning session today, that we have contracted with Eric Wolk, former senior scientist with the Department of Fish and Game, and one of the lead authors of the WASIP study. So he's going to be a great asset as we move forward on Board of Fish stuff that will be our meetings, Area M meetings, February 2019, but proposals are due April of 2018, coming right up. So that's a big thing. December 28th, after Christmas, we'll be having our annual enforcement meeting. We'll just give the guys a heads up on anything that's changed for the winter fisheries. We've been doing it for about 5 years, and it's been pretty good. North Pacific Council, it was good and bad, as it was mentioned earlier in the meeting. You were there, Paul was there, I was there, there was Kylie was there. Great testimony, and I thought we got a good outcome on the one motion on 58-foot limit. The stocks, the tax setting was not quite as good. The Gulf of Alaska TAC dropped 80%. For cod, for pollock, it dropped 21%. In the Bering Sea, the cod dropped 16%. The Bering Sea pollock stayed about the same, will go up in 2019. So that's, and as Joe Plesha mentioned at the meeting, that the price is going up in pollock. We may see a bump in our fish tax despite the almost disastrous situation for the Gulf. So there's that. Otherwise, my report's in the packet. I'll answer any questions if you have them.
Okay. Any questions for Paul?
Mayor, before I went to the meeting, maybe I'll add a sentence or two because you asked me to give a report, too. I can just add to his report real quickly. The meeting, I think, was a positive meeting. There were some new AP appointments made. I think they're online. You can find out who they are. One of the bigger items, I think the biggest item on the agenda was the Bering Sea cod issue. The Amendment 80 guys were trying to buy more cod, and it takes away from the shore plants. And so the North Pacific Council passed a motion, kind of they're going to put a halt to that for a while, and there'll be more cod on shore. So that didn't affect us directly. It affects Akutan a bit, but all the processors, shore-based processors, supported very strongly, and that was the biggest thing for a turnout. But the Gulf issues were the cod declining 80%, and this action going forward, limiting to 58-foot, I think was a pretty big deal. We didn't. What was the AP vote early on the trip limit?
Well, I think everything was 18-1.
He was the only one, and so I didn't think it moves to the council. But the commissioner, to his credit, figured out how to get the votes. And it was 9-2 on one issue. The other one was 10-1 on the A, B, and C, D seasons combining. So I think all in all, people were smiling more than they were frowning at the meeting. Usually we end up frowning a lot. But anyway, I just thought of that. Thank you.
If I could add one thing, Mayor Osterbeck. So I do appreciate the assembly support. I did get reappointed to the AP. And then Joe Plesha did express his gratitude on our help on that.
Paul was talking about the onshore, offshore. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions? Hearing done. Laura.
So basically, in my report, I talked a little bit about a Coast Guard training that we went to. We had the City of King Cove, Gary Henning, Angela Simpson from City of Cold Bay, Etta Kazakin from the Ogdow Tribe of King Cove, and Noah Trumbull. And Etta testified basically about her medevac 4 years ago, and the Coast Guard commander, Paul, he also testified, and part of the reason Dan Sullivan pushed for this was to get the Coast Guard on record to basically say that the King Cove Road is very necessary and important, not only for the people of King Cove, but also for the risking the lives of the Coast Guard to have to go there and rescue the people there, so that was very important. Other than that, as you'll see in the report, I just put out an In the Loop the other day. One of the main stories was about the planning work sessions that have been going on in the community, and of course I'm going to continue covering that as time goes on. As Mayor Osterak mentioned, I'm doing some research on the limited salmon entry permit. Going to find out, probably have to look into it this weekend because it's been kind of busy this week, but look into what's been done in the state of Washington. I have a call in to the Commercial Fisheries Centuries Commission, Bruce Twomley. He said he would get back to me to share with another commissioner and gather their thoughts. Maybe we can also share that with Sam Cotton, commissioner, and go from there and then put something together for the assembly to review. So that's basically it for now. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
I see that I think it was just this last weekend, CNN had put something out in regards to the
Yes, they did put something out. We were actually, unfortunately, expecting it to possibly be even worse than it was. It was. We still felt very biased against us. We've contacted them to see, you know, what sort of avenues, what sort of recourse, if any, that there is. We're going to update a sheet that we have that's going to be called Myth versus Facts and hand that out to the media. But, CNN, you may remember back in 2011, they did a real hatchet job on the Yucatan Airport. Story back then. That was just awful. This one wasn't as bad, but it was still very disappointing, very biased.
And did we ever hear any more back from those gentlemen that hiked this summer from Cold Bay all the way to King Cove? There was, I believe, three of them. One of them was for the Alaska magazine, and the other one was a contractor with, I think, the New Yorker or Washington Post. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I want to say it was the New
Yorker. Yeah, I ended up picking that one gentleman up for, I think it was the Washington Post. The other one decided to hike all the way into town. But I had talked with Gary, too, and he didn't seem to hear anything yet. But I was just, and I haven't seen anything put in the Alaska magazine or anything yet. But
yeah.
I was just wanting to know if you had heard anything on that.
I haven't heard anything, and actually, that's the point I was supposed to be good to ask Gary about. But I'll see if we can find out and get some contact information.
Yeah, because I know that Washington, that guy that was contracted, he had talked with my wife too, and she was a little bit concerned as to, you know, what avenue he was going, because he wouldn't really say, you know, which direction he was going to go.
Yeah, it's always a concern.
Yeah. So.
Definitely.
But no, appreciate what you do. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I'll try and find out more on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Other questions? Mary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. So as you know, we've been really busy preparing for the strategic planning workshop that you're all attending this week. So I hope that it's been valuable the last 2 days, and I'm really looking forward to seeing where that plan takes us. I'm also really hopeful about all the people that have been attending from the general public as well. So it's good to have that participation. Kept us pretty busy here in Anchorage. In addition to that, I've been working on various projects. Two that I want to point out, I attended the Akoon Breakwater meeting with administration, the mayor, and folks from Yucatan. The Corps recommended that we do some preliminary work before we see if funding is going to be available from the Fed, so I will be working on that. So we'll see that down the pike. Hopefully we have some valuable information that we can use in order to complete that feasibility study if we can get the money from the Fed. So I'll be looking into that. Also, Cold Bay Clinic, we spoke with Angela this month, last month, November, and we reiterated that we are applying for that Rasmussen grant. It's going to be $375,000 request. The letter of intent from the borough is going to be due at the end of January. Right now, I'm tweaking the budget to get it up to the level I think it needs to be at if we are to do construction in, like, 2018, 2019, depending on when we can get the money. So once that budget is tweaked, I'll be able to submit that letter of intent, and hopefully we'll be able to move on to the next process with Rasmussen and apply for the funds. I attended the Alaska Municipal League. Many of you were there. One thing that I thought was of interest for the borough that a couple of members, Carol, talked about was doing the opioid task force possibly within the borough. It's a couple of guys that they go out to different communities in Alaska and talk about opioid addiction and just, like, talk to people who are having those issues and see if we can do anything to do either prevention or anything like that. So I think that'd be something pretty valuable that we could do here in the borough, and that's something that's on my to-do list for the new year. Other than that, I've been helping with operations. Helicopter's been good. In November, we had 329 passengers, which was a pretty big push, I think, for the season. I actually had a call from someone at COT thinking the number
numbers were incorrect because they were so big. So that's good for us. Other than that, that's pretty much what we've been doing, at least what I've been doing the last month. So if you have any questions, please let me know.
Thanks. Questions? Thank you. So that's all the report. We're down to assembly comments. Paul?
Just a quick one. I think we had an audit presentation. Like, it went pretty damn good. So thanks, Roxanne. Looked like you did a great job. A nice letter. No conditions at all.
Okay. Josie?
I'd like to thank the staff and everybody for this past 2 days, jam-packed 2 days, trying to soak everything up, but it's a nice start, especially since I just got on board in October, and you see all the collaboration.
You have to be there tomorrow, too.
Okay. I had a quick question, and I mean, I don't know how we get this put in there, but have we looked at, and I know it's a little bit late, right now, but have we looked at ever trying to figure out maybe like some type of a bonus or something around Christmas time for the borough staff, for the borough employees?
That's good. I don't remember us doing that. Have you guys?
No, we never have. Never? I'll tell you that right now.
and the reason why I say that is, you know, In King Cove, we did it, and I mean it was a good salmon season and everything, and I think, you know, I know that we do some cost of living and all that, but I think that if things are looking good financially, I think we should, you know, reward our the employees that we have in the borough.
I'd like to make a comment.
Especially at that time.
I'd like to make a comment.
Okay.
Hello?
Justine.
Yes.
Well,
I have been on the borough since it first started. And we have never given bonuses. But you know what? I think that's a great idea because the people that work for the borough are so dedicated and so wonderful, and they really should be appreciated. I would really, if I had a vote, I would vote for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse.
Okay. And Paul?
Well, one thing I think we have to be clear about the government's a lot different than private business, so I think we would need some guidance on what's acceptable as an elected government and dispersing of funds and stuff. Because we have contracts with our employees, some of them, and so it's a little more complicated because we are elected to represent a borough. And, not the same.
So the question, who would put that together?
I don't know.
You know what, Bobby, Paul, sometimes we have to overlook those things. I'm on a lot of boards, and sometimes there are bonuses giving out. Sometimes you have to overlook what the government says because, you know, they're really screwed up. So I would vote. If I had a vote to give some of our employees who have done tremendous jobs for us, And give them some gratitude. Give them something. Thank you.
I got to bring it up.
Well, thanks, Justine. I know this isn't an organization like APITCA, perhaps. But if it is, if there are things like that, they should be on the agenda, not just in discussion later. It should always be an agenda item. So.
Well, and I'm not saying to do something today. I wanted to bring it to the borough's attention and say that, you know, it's something that maybe we need to put on the agenda or look in our budget and see where we can do this. Well, you know, what we can do then, I mean, because it's, it could be an agenda. We could put it on as an agenda item if the assembly wants for January. Yeah, and have our attorney take a look at it so we make sure we do what we're supposed to do.
I could Google that right now.
No. So here's the deal. So if the assembly wants, you know, somebody make a motion and get a second to it, and if that's something you would like us to look into and put on as an agenda item for January, you can do it that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I make a motion that we put it on the agenda in January. Yeah. Okay, so moved by Chris, second by Chris.
Could I make amendment to their motion? Sir?
Would you like to make a separate motion?
I could. Okay, I'll take
that. Okay,
let's
work with this motion.
Okay.
So, is there any objection to us doing that, to take a look and bring it back to the Assembly in January? Okay. That's a directive, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Carol?
I would like to make a motion that we look towards giving some of our long-term employees a raise who haven't had one, who deserve it. I was told not to talk about it today, but seeing you talked about it, I'm going to talk about it.
So, would you like to put that in the form of a motion?
Yes.
We can also bring that back in January?
Yes. I need a second, please.
I'll second it.
Okay.
And I'd like to see that. Yeah, I'd like to see that on the agenda as a agenda item because I think it's time.
Okay.
I have been here for a year complaining about this. So.
Well, and I remember you brought that, yeah, and I thought we had looked into that, and I thought it was kind of going forward, and, yeah, now to hear that, yeah. I mean, we got to take care of our employees, I mean, and the borough is very, it looks very financially stable, and we can't, and it's not because of, I mean, it's because of the employees that we have, and I think we have a good core of employees, and we need to show our appreciation to them.
Do I have to put on the motion?
What?
What employees? Or just employees in general? Or raise? Or do
What's your motion?
My motion is to give a couple long-term employees a raise, the finance director and the city clerk. It's my motion because they haven't had one. I know that they had emailed to get one and it wasn't answered, so I feel we've had them the longest, and they're pretty much the lowest on the totem pole in salaries for the borough. So that's my motion.
And Chris seconded that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody object to it?
Any questions?
Oh.
When you talk about employee compensation, it gets trickier. Like, who does the review? Is it another employee? And how many employees do we have? We just single out a couple for promotion. Do we consider everybody? Do we review all the salaries? How do we do that independently to be fair to the people we represent? Anyway, it sounds simple sometimes, but it gets to be a little more complicated.
Well, what I wanted to do between now and our next meeting then is just have our legal counsel explore for us and bring back recommendations.
I have a comment.
Yes.
Bobby Paul, stuff it. Our employees have been absolutely underpaid, and they're being the best jobs they ever had. And maybe there's a complication with all of what you said, but you know what? Forget about it. Just do this thing and just make it happen. It is very important. It's important to our staff. My God, they have been so faithful, and they're not recognized. So, you know what? Again, just stuff what you said, and let's get on with the vote.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justine. So, you know, just so you're clear, so on both of these items, what we're going to do is we're going to have recommendations on how to proceed brought back to us by our legal counsel. And hopefully we'll have something to go forward with in the January meeting.
Okay.
Paul? Mr. Mayor, I think from time to time we should point out that if you want to talk about an issue, that's okay. If you talk about individuals, it's a little more complicated.
Yeah.
So I think we should go out of our way to keep our discussion about the issue, not about people.
And, yeah, so with that, I think, yeah, in – moving forward, everybody has a right to their own opinion. People have a right to express their opinion, and we go forward from there so we don't get into the weeds on who did what in the future. Thank you. Okay. We got our marching orders on that, right? Okay. Public comment. Do we have any public left?
Mr. Mayor, Henry and King Cole.
Hi, Henry. You have the floor.
Say thanks, Al. Just listening to all the resolutions and ordinance that came through tonight, it's so good to hear that the hovercraft is getting so close to being sold. And I wish you a lot of luck, Mayor, to successfully get this done here within the next few weeks or months. And it's exciting. In your resolution, our ordinance 1803, surplus property, that's a good thing. I'm glad you, the assembly and you guys are doing that there. So I want to congratulate Chris for filling in on the assembly there, and wish him success, and appreciate him being there. Appreciate all the assembly that works hard for our area here. So thank you all so very much. What's happening over here is our hydro, it's amazing. We've been on 100% now. I mean, it's December. And with a few little niches here and there, we'd start an engine up periodically, but the gentlemen are doing a good job. We're getting as much water as we can to keep our community with electricity run by hydro. So it's a great savings to our community and the great thing that we have. And thank you for the support through the years and making this happen. So we've got a Jingle Bell Rock floating around here somewhere. We've got the community out looking. So one lucky person will get $800 here before Christmas. So that's what's happening over here. Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor Mack, for your report there. And that's good to hear on your hydro project that you got over there, and it's producing the way it's supposed to. Are there any other comments from the public? Okay, hearing none. Before we go to our next meeting date, I just want to thank everybody for being here and coming in for the planning session. I think it's going really well. We've got good participation in it. Hopefully when we come out of this, when it's all said and done, we'll have a good outline of where we're going. As I think I've told you from the beginning, I would like more assembly participation in decision-making and all aspects of this as we go down the road. I think it's healthier to have a well-informed assembly and have the people in the communities know that they can go to their assembly representatives and have them come back here and fully participate in all the discussions and get the best results we can for the community. So we're down to next meeting date, the second Thursday in January is the 11th. So that's our scheduled meeting date. If something changed on that, we'll stick with that. So unless there's any other comments, we need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion.
Move by Chris. Second by Chris. Thank you, everybody.